The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We have, of course, over the last few days, last couple of weeks really, been talking about the return to school, which, you know, any parent will tell you can be fraught with difficulty. But could you imagine, as a parent listening to this, if you had to navigate all of that when your child had additional needs? Tracy Carroll knows all about this, mother of daughter Willow, who has those needs. Tracy, you're very welcome to the show, and it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while since we had a chat. Give us a sense of the type of things that you are navigating.
So obviously, when you have a child with additional needs, education is not always guaranteed. So in Ireland, we seem to have a two-tiered system. We have the typical approach to education, and then we have what they call special education. For me, that word used in that manner is derogatory. You know, we treat children with disabilities differently, and, you know, we frame them in this special education model. And that actually creates a place of exclusion. So if your child has additional needs, you don't have the same opportunities as a child with typical education. So to avail of a place for your child, it is basically a dogfight. There's not adequate places available. You're lucky to get a place in your community, and you're especially lucky for your children to be educated together. So from the get-go, from the day you realise that your child is not going to fit the typical education model, it's an absolute challenge. We have a model of education in Ireland that is framed for typical. And it's about, sorry, that's Willow in the background, just letting you know
that's
she's
all
there.
Right. Yes, the reason.
We have, you know, this model of education that our children are expected to fit in. We don't have a model of education that allows it to fit our children. And that goes across the board. You know, any, you know, child who's neurodivergent that, you know, is not typical. A neurodivergency covers a whole range. You know, there's ADHD, there's ASD, there's children with dyslexia. So it's a wide range. But our education model here is framed really around the typical approach. But when you go to the next level of a child like Willow or a child with autism, it really is a dogfight. And there are so many children sitting at home this week with no education placement. We see there was a protest today with the, I think it's the Dublin 15. There's, I think, something like 60 children at the moment without an education placement. So it's really, it's very much a two-tiered system, and it's just totally not fair, not right. And it doesn't offer equality, and it certainly doesn't offer equity in that equality for a place in education.
And what happens in those situations where no place is offered? The child just kept home for a year?
Yeah, they're offered homeschooling. But in that, you know, there's a whole, every child you would expect will begin their life in education. And that's, you know, their early education. You know, that step from Montessori into school, and that's where they build relationships and meet their peers. And in those early years, it's so important, you know, for children's abilities to be enhanced. And it's about offering opportunity, no matter what way your child is educated. It's about, you know, seeing that child, seeing their strengths, supporting their weaknesses. So no matter what way they are. So any child that is not offered that opportunity, it's almost like they're stuck, and, you know, it's going to be a regression, and they're never going to have the opportunity to see their potential. So there's these children sitting at home, being home educated, not being, you know, brought into society, not meeting peers, and not having those opportunities to give them a childhood. So it's just, you know, in this day and age, you would expect that we would actually have that word inclusion that we keep using, and actually be building a society that's inclusive, and we're not. So I think we're at a point now, and I said this 3 years ago, there's a tsunami coming, and we're beyond that now. It's so bad. And these quick fix measures are not fixing the problems. We need to be looking at education. We need to see teacher training. We need it to be part of the teacher training curriculum, that teachers are, you know, supported in education on diversity, to be able to educate children in all shapes and forms and to fit the model around them. We need to see, you know, building the future around an inclusive education model and stop, you know, this, you know, one criteria. I have this vision, I think, like Willow School, that you walk into this yard and the children all know that their needs are going to be met within that school. And that's what we have now in the classroom that Willow's in. And we have inclusion, reverse inclusion. We have children learning together. And even if there's prejudice, you know, in society, children that are learning together will grow to make up their own minds. And they won't see diversity as this big difference. They're just learning together. And that's what we need to be shaping now. And no child should be sitting at home. No parent should be heartbroken sending out application after application and getting refusal.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have this one point of application, which is ridiculous. And we just have parents sitting at home, heartbroken, trying to support their children. And, you know, it creates a bigger storm outside of just the child not being educated. It creates challenges within the home and within their community.
Willow's still young, but has there been anything you could point to, Tracy, and say, listen, that's progress? I'll acknowledge that has got better.
Well, I have to say, I see this little girl who started school as a very medically fragile little girl to this, we call her the head case. She's mad in school. She goes in there roaring and shouting. She has autonomy. She is so vocal. She tells you what she wants, hates religion. It's hilarious. You know, when they say we're doing religion, she's like choosing her subjects. Absolutely loves the social side. I'm back in school with her at the moment until her nurse is trained up next week to start with her. So I was sitting in the storeroom again and I could hear Deck Pierce playing in the sensory room because that's Willow's reward for doing well at her subjects. She gets to listen to Deck Pierce because she loves his music. So I've seen this little girl really, the teacher seeing her potential, and she's following the curriculum. She's now in first class, the same as her peers, but they're doing it her way. And that's a huge advancement. And it just shows in one small community how this classroom can be built, how the whole school has wrapped around it and how it can be done. And it's really showing inclusion. And from that, the kids have gone home. They've spoken to the parents who have told their parents, the kids' grandparents about it. And we had the local men's shed, the grandparents from the school, the children in the school come to the school last year and say they wanted to build us a sensory garden. Like, absolutely amazing. They built the most amazing sensory garden. And there we have now built this inclusive society or community around one classroom going into a small country school with 142 pupils. So if that's not a leading example and showing you how every child can be educated together, I don't know what they're looking for.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's such a lovely story and it's kind of life affirming and uplifting and all of that. But it came on foot of lots of campaigning and lots of calling for change. I know in your part and your kind of your fellow travellers, as it were, which is something that always strikes me when I speak to people in your position, Tracy, and it struck me speaking to you before as well, is it's just how much parents have to jump up and down and make noise to get anything done.
Yeah, it's the same with anything with disabilities. Really, it's about me saying, I want my daughter to go to school with her brother. And the amount of people that said to me, it'll never happen. I said, it will happen. If I've anything to do with it, it will. But we shouldn't have to do this. You know, where we are now, you know, the EPSON Act was reviewed last March and the current legislations, policies and practices do not align to the international practice for inclusive education. We are that far behind. You know, it's about changing language, changing mindset and, you know, changing how we see education. And the word is education. I'm continuously learning every day by you know, having to advocate for the rights of my child. But a child should have it should just be there that their schools are equipped in your own community for your child to go to school. And, you know, shift this mindset from othering them. You know, it's a case of your child's not typical, so we're just going to sit them over there until the parents shout loud enough and have to get out in the street and campaign and, you know, do these protests for the rights for their children. It's absolutely just disgraceful. And those parents, again today, the second time in a week, having to gather together to protest for their children to have an education. There's parents at home that can't work now because their child doesn't have an education. So we're not seeing the bigger picture. And we're also not fixing the problems that keep on arising. It's like, you know, when we bought our house, it was plywood on floors, and no matter how many layers of carpet you got under it, there was still a vacuum. And that's what we seem to do when we have problems with disability. We'll just put another layer on it, temporary layer to fix it, but the same problems are still underneath. So until we get to that place where we're like, right, we're going to sit here, we're going to look at this, it's not working, PDS model's not working, we need to have an umbrella around the whole disability sector with regard to education, the CDNT teams, the health, all together, instead of, you know, one pocket here, one pocket there, and parents exhausted fighting for the rights of their children. It's never going to work.
What do you say, Tracy, to those listening to this? And like, they'd be in broad agreement with you, but they'd say, you know, that maybe they just don't have a direct experience of this, or this is the perception they have. They said the range of additional needs that you'd have to cater for, say in the local community school, the local national school, is just so great that you could never have all of the services in place.
If we put the resources into the right places, we'll have them. It's, you know, what we're doing now is not working. We have, everything is broken into different sectors and different systems. We need a one-stop shop, basically, where everybody is working together. And, you know, we need to offer equality and equity, and we need to see diversity as being part of everyday life. And that's how we build inclusion. And instead of wasting money on quick fixes and broken systems, really invest in a proper inclusive model where everything fits together and every child is supported for their needs and seen as an individual. And that goes into mainstream school as well. I mean, Noah's in school at Willow. He's neurodivergent. He needs to have his movement breaks. He needs to have support. But again, the teachers aren't being educated to support children who are divergent. So it's not only children with additional needs that aren't being properly supported. It's every child. So until we get that mindset and actually listen to the people who are living the experience, listen to the people who are seeing this every single day, you know, we can't fix the problem if we're not working with the people who can give you the solutions.
And do you feel that that's the reality today, that the policymakers, the people with the power to fix those problems, are not working with you?
I've seen, I suppose, a change in positive with the Taoiseach, and I've engaged with Minister Nocton, Hildegard Nocton, and I see their want for change. But again, I still see the quick fixes. I've engaged with the NCSE over the last few weeks. Like, I've been quite busy with Inclusion Ireland, as I am, and, you know, family carers. And we're all looking at how we're going to bring this together and, you know, really say this is what we need to do. So I see the investment for change, but we need to know that they're actually really, really listening. And it's not just tokenistic, you know, really listening and really wanting to invest in change and stop with quick fixes. It's going to take time, but we really need to see, you know, schools in the community and at post-primary as well and further education. We're kind of focused on the primary education, but children finish school in sixth class, they need to go to post-primary. I want my child to continue in education for as long as she can. And whatever she gets from that, that's potential for Willow. That's just her, you know, that's her as an individual. It's the same with Noah. It's the same with any of us in education. So we need to see real investment and real want for change and them to listen and to engage, possibly, you know, a citizens' assembly around this and, you know, a real push for equity for every child.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.